Totes Recall.
Welcome to TotesRecall.com, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't hardly remember, and then we pause the recording and eat two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Watching the movie that we just discussed, come back, second half of the record. Now, we've just seen the movie and we know
about it.
This is slightly better than average. Now it's worse. Give it that sigh. That's the show. Figure it out. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie this very special episode.
Oh, what's special about it?
It's Respect Listener Opinions Month. Whoa! Dan, I'm glad you asked. A month in which the movie was picked by you, the listener, if you voted. And that movie is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh.
Yay. Wow.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Here comes Scott. Here comes the world. Who's going to win?
Okay. Keep going.
I don't know. That's the end.
That's good.
I don't know.
That's the end. It's a very short song.
Yeah.
This is in contention for newest movie we watched, isn't it?
Oh, is that true?
I don't know.
Yeah, when did this come out?
This feels like a
2004? 2007?
Oh, maybe not. I always think of Total Recall 2012 as our newest movie. I don't know if that's even true anymore, but this feels like around that.
When did Frozen come out?
We watched Frozen.
Yeah, I think that's the newest one.
Yeah, we sure did.
Oh, yeah, right. We did.
For one of our romantic movie
Okay,
months.
That's way newer. I take it all back. Okay. I'm going to say 2015.
Oh, what?
Way too late.
I'm going to say.
Okay. I'm going to go with 2004.
I'm going to say 2010.
I'll say 2009. Did somebody say that already?
No, I love this spread.
Here's the problem I'm running into. I have no concept of how old Michael Cera is at any moment in his career.
Never.
Like, right? At any moment in his career. Sometimes he plays children. Sometimes he doesn't. He doesn't look that different regardless. Except lately he grows a beard.
He's an old child now.
Yeah, he usually has a beard now, which is like, just to make it clear, like, I am an adult man now.
Yeah. I tell you what, I was always a Michael Cera fan, and then I started watching him in Life and Beth on a particular streaming service, and that show is so good, in large part because of his performance, and then I went down this whole rabbit hole and was like, this guy is incredible. Like, the whole time he was in the Barbie movie, he played...
Alan.
Oh. P.S. Sorry, detour. He had a baby. I thought that was so interesting.
Wow, he's a child.
He has a baby, yeah. And apparently he didn't want to, he doesn't talk about it publicly, but Amy Schumer outed him because she thought it was so cool. He also had a kid, so he understands that, you know, what that's like in an early couple, because spoiler alert, there's a baby in season two. But anyway, all this to say, when he was on Barbie.
Yes.
I watched a lot of the background content and almost all of the actors were like, Michael Cera is so good. He is given so little to work with. And he just really, like, every single one was like this weird kind of like genuine compliment, but also he had like no lines.
Yeah. True. It's true.
The through line of all of the compliments. I thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, I think he's amazing. I feel like I'm not going to enjoy the content of this movie that much, but I think he's great.
Can I ask a follow up on that detour?
Yeah.
Who's the baby's mother?
Amy Schumer.
No.
In the show or in real life?
Oh, in real life. Oh, in real life, he's married to a real person.
Not Amy Schumer.
Wow. Amy Schumer's a fake person? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying.
Like a raunchy woman?
No.
Wow,
okay.
Molly.
No,
wow.
Sir. Wow. No. No, I think she is adjacent to but outside of show business.
Got it.
Great.
And is rarely photographed, and they have a very private life.
Love it.
Nice.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah.
Dan's bet. This movie is going to have a who's who of people who are more famous now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like every single character in this movie is probably an actor who has gone on to bigger things.
Who? Like who? I can't think of anybody except Michael Cera.
Jesus. Do you really want me to go down the list or do you want to discover it for yourself?
Well, let's talk about what happens in the movie and then maybe we can work through the people that show up.
Ooh, okay. I have a personal connection I would like to share.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Jeremy recommended and/or gave me these comics before the movie ever came out because he thought I would like them as someone who briefly played the bass and was kind of a sad indie boy.
Yeah, totally.
Which is kind of the comics. And he was right. I enjoyed them quite a bit.
I also enjoyed them all.
Oh,
I have them all if you didn't. If you suddenly realize you never read the end of it.
I would read them.
Is this pretty true to the comics?
Yes. Mostly. Okay. Yeah.
So he's like having to fight a succession of bad guys leading up to the boss level in order to free his girlfriend or to get away from his ex-girlfriend or what is the...
The basic like goofy premise on the surface is in order to actually date Ramona, he has to battle and succeed against her evil ex-boyfriends.
Oh, yeah.
Exes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. But almost all of her exes are famous people.
Yes.
Oh, really? So we've got Chris Evans.
Oh.
He's on a skateboard. He's an actor or something. Mm.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Captain America, Chris Evans?
Mm-hmm. Captain America.
Wow.
I can't remember if he's wearing a sweater or not.
I feel like he's wearing a jacket in this one. I feel like he's got a jacket instead of a sweater in this one.
We've got, I can think of the face of another guy who's like a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, fun.
In the movie or IRL?
I don't know if he is IRL, but he definitely is in, he's got like superpowers because he's vegan.
Yeah. I mean, they all have some superpowers in the sense that no one, like everyone has special effects surrounding them whenever they are doing something exciting.
Yeah. The style of this movie is sort of like an 8-bit video game.
Kind of the point of the movie.
Yeah. It's very stylistic.
It's also
based around music because they're in a band. And so there's a lot of kind of like battle of the bands kind of things happening.
Beth, how recently have you seen this movie?
I probably saw it within the last few years I can't remember the first time I saw it. The first time I saw it was probably around when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely saw this in theaters.
Ooh,
I remember
that.
Well, I used to go see a lot of movies.
Wow.
That's why I can't remember any of them.
Oh, sure.
There's too many.
Yep.
Yep.
Mae Whitman? Is that her name?
Yep.
Egg?
Who's that?
Her?
Egg? Yep. Seamus?
Yep.
Eggs in it?
We plant egg.
Trying to think. And then the ultimate like boyfriend that he has to battle is Jason Schwartzman.
Yes, correct.
Right? Yeah.
This is I think Molly briefly mentioned it before. I'm also concerned about the content of this movie in that it's like.
Speak on it.
He's got to fight to win a woman.
Right.
Yeah. It's but like very comic book. Yeah.
Maybe it is self-aware of that aspect being sort of problematic.
Yeah. I mean,
and Ramona's like chill about it. Like she's not actually in danger or anything.
No. Like if anything, Ramona is like one of the more competent people in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like she's always kind of like rolling her eyes. She's like, yeah, you have to like fight these, my exes or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, I don't know how well the movie is just like focused a lot on like just like the silliness of it. And I don't know how much time it has to really like dig into like the underlying metaphors of all of this kooky comic book shit. Right. Because like in the comics, it digs into a little more where Jason Schwartzman's character is sort of like, he's the one who's like setting, he's the reason that these battles take place. It's like, he is like the, because that's why he's like the final boss. And like, it's sort of made very clear that it's kind of like analogous to having like a very, not necessarily abusive ex-boyfriend, but just someone who's just like too, like has zero boundaries, right? And it's like too mm-hmm. much still in her life and is like, won't leave, you know, just won't let her, like, leave her alone and like move on with her, his life enough. And it's like always getting in the way of her, like, continuing to have any other relationships.
Is it at all metaphorical for like having processing a romantic partner's background?
Yes.
And like feelings of inadequacy for being,
I think so,
maybe less experienced in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like their whole relationship, Scott and Ramona's whole relationship, is like, Ramona is so cool and Scott is so desperate to be with somebody that cool. Yeah. I don't know. I'm mostly concerned just with the way movies work, because like in the books, you have a lot of time to like really hammer in the fact that Scott sucks. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the books can like really take its time and be like, oh no, Scott sucks. Like he's, you know, he's not necessarily like intentionally being a shitty dude, but he's just, you know, he's a young 20 something who's like very self-absorbed and dumb. And he ends up being really shitty to a lot of people. And the books really get into that. And I feel like in the movie, they can only like, you know, just like quickly just kiss it a little bit, right?
Yeah. I don't remember connecting to really any part of this movie except feeling like I should go see it because everybody went to go see it,
yeah,
which is fine. And I remember, it felt a lot like, okay, let's hurry up with the relationship, get into the premise. And then I find premise of increasing battles like so tedious,
mm-hmm.
just no matter, like Kill Bill or, what's the other one I was thinking about? Anyway, anything that's like that.
Game of Death.
Yeah, I'm just exhausted and I just don't care. It's like just knowing that, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like basketball games should just be 5 minutes because most of them are decided in the last 5 minutes. Let's just, you know.
How do you feel about that,
Dan? I get why it's not.
I kind of get it, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I'll sit down and watch a whole basketball game and I'm like, okay, that's fun. But it, yeah, the last 15 minutes, as long as they're not spending the last three just fouling each other over and over for free throws, which is terrible, and I understand the strategy. Don't talk to me, sports people.
Don't talk to me.
It's boring to watch. I think everybody feels that way. No one loves it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like the last excited, like, ooh, who's going to get that final edge?
So anyway, I'm just saying it's kind of intrinsic to me to be impatient. I don't know that the movie did anything wrong. Is there any way at all it passes the Bechdel Wallace?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is a possibility.
There's a few ladies who aren't Ramona in it that are pretty prominent.
The drummer in their band.
Yeah.
She's so cool.
Band.
She's awesome. And then, I mean, Ramona has one of her exes is a woman.
Yes. And cool. Scott's ex is in it too. Or a couple of Scott's exes are in the movie,
too. So that's, to me, that's the thing. Having seen it more recently, that was the thing that I felt the most awkward about, is I think she's pretty young.
One of them.
Like, his girl, one of his girlfriends is pretty young, and he's, like, supposed to be, like, in his 20s, and she's maybe, like, 17 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. I mean,
wait, is she, like, frozen in time as the age they were when they were dating?
No.
I agree with Beth. I feel like I remember that from the books too. Like, she was like 17. And he's
And that was one of the and that was one of the things that's like, Scott sucks, because like even his friends are like, you probably shouldn't be dating a high schooler, right? Like, they're like, like, even they are like telling him, he's like, you're getting, you know, you're getting older now. You probably should stop dating a high schooler.
And he's such a dick to her. Like, he's just so rude to her.
Yeah,
they're Canadian too. We should say
We should make it very clear. This important. All takes place in Canada.
Is that how you feel better?
Yeah, now I get it.
Okay. Toronto?
I think it's Toronto. Yeah.
But I think the thing for me that I really, I think that I like this movie.
It's, I'm pretty sure I like this movie. I liked it when I saw it once years ago.
Yeah. The style of it is so cool. Yeah. And the I really loved the music and how that's incorporated into it. It's just like, it's just a very interestingly made movie, I think.
Yes, totally. Yeah, like, he's tried to he tried to, like, I think, capture the sort of, because, like, the comic is essentially supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like really like crazy ass manga, but it's about just like some Canadian loser, right? He was just like dealing with his being a 20-year-old dummy, but it's like it's very stylized to be like a manga where like, there's like giant text whenever something, you know, dramatic happens or whatever. And like, they're doing like crazy fight moves and stuff. And I think he tried to sort of do that in this, but a little more. Yeah. I don't know. I think he finds a good balance between like trying to still stick true to its comic roots, but like, yeah, like Beth said, like maybe focus more on the fact that this is like a moving picture with music under it and like kind of hybridizes those styles a little more.
Yeah. Who's it's the fun. Director?
It's Edgar Wright.
Is it Edgar Wright? Okay. Okay. I don't remember if that was right.
He does this British Edgar comedy Wright. Movies.
Yes. Of Shaun of the Dead and Hot others. Fuzz. Hot Fuzz. End of the whatever the third one is called.
This is the end?
No, that's the other one.
Oh, that's the pub. World's End of the World.
World's End.
World's End. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
That's pretty good. Fun. That one is also fun.
Well, it's been ages since I've seen this one. It'll be interesting to watch it again.
Do we think there are any like actual adult coded adults in this movie? Because like, I mean, most of the characters are in their 20s, but they all act like, you know, teenagers. They're all dummies, except for Ramona, mostly.
I don't remember there being any adults.
Doesn't Scott have an older sister?
He has a sister.
Uh-huh.
Anna Kendrick?
I think so.
Oh.
Maybe? Or is that a different... Okay. And she's then he it. Has a roommate.
Statcast.
Who is a Culkin. Is it the Culkin that's super famous now?
Oh, I saw
now?
That in a GIF today. It's Succession Culkin.
There is a Culkin.
Kieran?
Yes. Yeah.
Have I told you my one McCulkin story?
McCulkin story?
I've got just one.
What's a McCulkin story?
I think it's so funny. A story about spotting a McCulkin.
Yep.
Who are, okay. And this is the famous family, the McCulkins.
Yes.
The McCulkins.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Macaulay, Kieran, and so on.
Of the McCulkin clan.
Macaulay McCulkin.
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
Macaulay McCulkin. I think his name is full name.
Yeah.
My friend's husband was at a show, and you know how you stand and watch a show.
Like
and
a music eye, show?
A music show. Oh, okay. Yeah, with a band playing. Out of the corner of his eye, he was like, I really think that's a McCulkin. And he wasn't sure if it was Kieran. It was Kieran McCulkin, but he wasn't sure. But he decided to subtly look. Now, the way his wife tells it is, this guy does not have any subtlety in him. Uh-huh. He thinks he's subtle. But like when he whispers, he's just talking. Yeah. Like, this is just not a thing.
Yeah.
So he sneaks very coolly a look. And actually, I realize this is a terrible story for a podcast, but you can play along at home and just make the most sarcastic reaction facial and imagine yourself as a McCulkin because he like peeked over at him. And instead of like being ignored, the guy just did like a...
Like he
shook his head, like absolutely made fun of him silently by showing him what his face looked like, trying to subtly check him out.
Nice. It was
very funny.
Molly, I have two pieces of information for you.
Two follow-ups.
Great.
Yeah.
One, great. I've heard this story before.
Oh, no!
Two.
On pod?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
No, probably not. This is the first time I've ever tried to do it in an audio form, and it's silly.
Sure.
Two, their last name is Culkin.
Oh,
Dan and I tried to convey that with aggressive razzing.
You were aggressively razzing in a confusing way.
Yeah. Fair.
Like typically, and I, in my defense, typically the way Dan mostly, but also Dan sometimes likes to joke is to add so many layers.
Yes.
To whatever the thing is.
That's sure.
It's not recognizable.
Yeah, that's what I do with Macaulay McCulkin. I was adding a Mick before Collie.
Yeah.
Thinking maybe that would clue you into it. Doesn't that sound
why
ridiculous?
Would it? No, because that sounds like Dan.
Yeah, I get it.
Honestly, when you said that, I started to question if it was McCulkin. Because I was like, is it Macaulay McCulkin?
Why would it be Macaulay McCulkin?
It is a good name.
It's a great name. Listen, if your last name is McCulkin, name your kid Macaulay.
Hey.
Yeah. Parents?
Parents?
Pregnant people?
Pregnant people?
The first pregnant person to hear this has to name their kid Macaulay Culkin.
Yes. It doesn't matter what your last name is.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin last name.
Oh, man. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin Jones.
You get, you get a free fruit challenge.
Ooh.
If you send us your child's birth certificate.
Amazing. Amazing.
I apologize to the entire Culkin family.
They're not listening.
Beth, please cut all of this out.
Something we
pull it by the roots.
Leave it in. The other thing we should leave in is the rating scale, because it's a beloved segment that we spend exactly the right amount of time on. Yes. Molly, what should it be for this movie, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
X-McMania.
Yep. Like the letter X or EX?
Oh, EX.
Okay.
X-McMania.
Mania. Or you can just go with X-Mania if that's simpler.
No, it's, no. I mean, that's the term. I mean, you said that's called X-McMania. Like, why would we change
it? Right, that's true. That's fair.
That's offensive if we took out the Mick, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I think of the McCulkins. What I think of McMania.
Yeah.
So it's probably...
It's X-Mania. X-McMania.
Macaulay McCulkin X-McMania.
So wow. it's like a dating show where all previous romantic partners of the McCulkins have to compete, I presume.
Like in a trivia show or something like that?
Sure.
And it's important that it's the McCulkins and not the Culkins.
Yeah.
The McCulkins are a family that lives in Iowa and they have about 12 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, and they've always been confused with the Culkins, but they're just leaning into it for this show.
Yeah. How many? It is hosted by Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin?
Wow.
No, Macaulay Culkin's better.
Yeah, or the other one. I'm just saying, Kieran's got checks. Checks to cash. He doesn't need to do a game show.
I'm very proud of myself that I just pulled Rory McCulkin.
Me too.
Rory. That was good.
Rory McCulkin.
That's very good.
McCrory McCulkin.
Is Rory the one that's also in, is he the one who's in Home Alone or is that Kieran?
Oh, I think that's Kieran.
I think it's Kieran.
Okay.
Are they all in it? Rory Maybe in. They're all in it.
Hmm. We'll have to do some Culkin research.
Just do an episode of Home Alone. Good movie.
I'll have to go on McWikipedia.
Wikipedia. Okay.
That's right. We got it. Dan, you're first, as we all know.
Yes. I am first. Huh?
X-McManias, would you like to give?
I remember this movie being very fun. And it also had a bunch of cool young people in it. And yeah, just the style was so fun. I'm a little worried, like we all are, that like it might be having too much fun and doesn't spend enough time to be like, Scott sucks. Like, just a reminder, Scott sucks. And that is canon. Like, that is the entire sixth book of the comic is basically breaking down how much Scott sucks. And then he has a little redemption arc. It's fine. So, yeah, I am going to say 4 X-McMania episodes, or is these contestants?
Contestants.
Okay.
Oh, wow. 4 X's on X-McMania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nailed it.
We got it.
Beth, your second, as we all know and appreciate.
It's true. Everyone appreciates that I go second.
We all do.
I think that the first time I saw it, I was kind of wowed by it. I thought it was really, really well made. I think the second time I saw it, I was like, ooh, there's some stuff that's a little bit off about this. So I'm also going to say 4 X-McManias. And yeah, we'll see. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll turn around, go back up to 5. We'll see.
My name is Dan, and I am third. The best time to go for a Dan.
Oh. Huh.
And I feel exactly the same as Beth. I thought it was really cool the first time I saw it, and now I'm like, I don't know. I also love Michael Cera. Shocker. It's 4.
4 for the little indie boy.
Yeah. hi, I'm Molly. Yep. I go 4th, and no one is offended by that.
We appreciate it so much.
Yep.
It is so appreciated. I'm going to be uncharacteristically pessimistic and go with 2.
Nice.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I don't remember loving it the first time. But I'm hoping the power of Michael Cera and maybe the other cast will elevate this. I'm hoping.
No, so no respect bump, huh?
Wow.
Oh, no, I forgot about our listeners. Listen, listeners, wow. Hang on. Wow, Molly. You will
that
find
was not respectful.
You will definitely see some respect in the second ratings.
Wow.
So just think of how much further this will go, just on respect alone.
Wow, what a teaser.
Unless I hate the movie, but respect you, and it'll still end up at 2.
Yeah.
We'll find out what happens.
Wow, this is incredible.
The tension is unbearable.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and we'll be right back. Hey, listeners, you have reached the middle point, which is actually the first third point of the podcast, where we remind you that a thing called Patreon exists. And because Patreon exists, we exist. There is no way to keep doing a podcast for 10 years, no matter how nice your basement is, without a little bit of financial support, especially to pay our editor. So if you appreciate the lack of awkward silences that don't pay off, and you appreciate the sound quality, which we do not deserve, please pay money so that Beth K. Gibbs can continue to be our co-host.
Beth Pay Gibbs. Is that something?
Ooh, Beth nice.
Wow.
Yeah, if you don't want this podcast to sound like utter garbage, please go to patreon.com/totesrecall and contribute to our Pay Gibbs fund.
What's fun is you're also making memories, because depending on what tier you sign up for, like, for example, there's the Dan's Eat Fruit tier.
Yes, there
and
is.
Because oh, yeah. Some, there are still 5 here. Left.
That's true.
Just 2 days ago, I was chopping up a pineapple and I thought, wow, this reminds me of watching the two Dan's square off, eating pineapple together. And it brought me joy in the middle of a hectic afternoon. That could be your life.
Yes.
For as little as $1 a month. And then you get to also chat with us on Discord and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can find out which host, it's me, who doesn't post for a long time and then posts too much.
Yeah.
You could experience that.
Yeah.
At any rate, we appreciate the help of all of our patrons. We appreciate you, listener, whether you're a patron or not. But also, you know, if you're thinking about it, let's pull the trigger, baby.
Yeah, pull the trigger on that money gun.
Okay, so Dan's going to add an extraneous.com here, but I'm just trusting you to understand that you go to patreon.com/totesrecall. Wow, Dan. Wow.
Beth, nailed it, Molly.
Can you put back in?
You nailed it.
Nailed it.
Well
nailed
done.
It. Well done.
.com.
And now back to our show. And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 52 minutes of a game and a comic book and a movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I accept that.
I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. There's not like a lot of opinion in there, but I'm saving it for the cast.
Wow.
Yeah.
The movie portion of this came out in 2010, if I read my screen right.
You did. You did.
Which Dan guessed.
That means.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, this whole time I was like, Beth won, but you were 2009.
She was very close. I was way off 2015. I was 22 years old. This movie I was the target demographic in so many ways. I was like, oh, here's a little indie boy, loves video games, has struggles with his emotional intelligence, loves Arrested Development. Loves Threadless Tees.
Mm-hmm. Is that a brand? Or a style.
Wait, how old did you say you were?
22, is that wrong?
That can't be
32?
Right.
32?
I was 20.
Right.
Was I 32? No.
You're not that much older than me.
I was in my 30s.
Was this movie
14 years ago.
When
28.
Wow.
There you go. You did it.
I got there, 35.
Did you think you were 22 because there's a joke in the movie where someone's like, what are you, Scott, like 28 now? And he's like, I'm 22.
Well, maybe. I should have been. If this movie was released, I guess I was a target demo for the comic, which is probably about then.
Yeah.
And it takes place. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't either.
Well, I know where we like to go to get awards.
Oh, fair enough.
Nice.
And where's that?
Tell me.
That is an award-winning, oh my gosh, there are like four or five just jammed into my mailbox today.
Oh, they sent them to you now?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. They're like, it's because Beth's box was totally full.
Yeah, I don't have any more room.
I see.
For all the awards that we have.
P.O. box, and it filled up, and we got kicked out. And so now they're sending it to my house, and soon they'll be sending it to yours. But anyway, we got like at least four or five awards from Mahara, and it's for the segment we like to call 60 Second Summary or 6-6 Sum. And famously, Dan offers to summarize. And I offered a time, and everyone shouts me down, and Dan Linden times it, and usually we make Beth do it.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that is 100% Utah.
Yeah. 100% Utah. Yeah. The only rule is you have to start with
Hold on.
We
Molly,
open on.
I just got an award in my house for
no
best
way.
Less than 60-second summary of 60-second summary.
How dare you.
Wow.
Wow.
I'll happily do this one.
Okay.
It's Freaky Friday Totes Recall Edition.
That's right.
Okay. But so you are offering for real?
For real. I don't think don't think I've done it in a couple.
I don't think you have either.
I think it's totally fair. Right. Beth, is that okay with you?
I approve this message.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, Beth never done it, and we want to keep it that way. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you ready, Dan?
10 seconds.
Shut up, Molly.
No. But I never
50.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Go.
We open on Toronto, and Michael Cera is Scott Pilgrim, and he's dating a high school kid, and his friends think that's not cool. And then he's not super good, but he's not super bad either. He's got a roommate, and he's in a band. And eventually he sees a girl in his dreams, and then also in life. She's a dream girl, and her name's Ramona. And she likes him, and we don't know why ever. And then
30 seconds.
He has to fight her evil exes, which is maybe a metaphor for coming to terms with people's past. And he fights them all and learns that he should be nicer, and he's okay guy, and how to love. And then
10 seconds.
In the end, there's a big battle. And his high school girlfriend probably has more growth than him, but he still ends up with Ramona and they try again.
Very solid.
100% Utah.
It's Battle of Bands.
You know, hearing that question, because I know we were posing it during the movie, it's like, why would she be into him?
Yeah.
The only real clue we get is that he is literally the nicest person she's dated.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. And he actually says that at one point. He goes, that's so sad.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just led to believe she's a super cool girl with bad taste in guys.
Yeah.
And so he's like part of her arc
right.
towards making different choices. But he's definitely going to be in that ex-boyfriend club, right? I mean, that's not going anywhere.
Maybe.
I mean, they
maybe like a year.
They'll probably date
two.
For a while longer than any of her other relationships.
Yeah.
And they're also like, they're in their early 20s. Like, I feel like there's a lot of growth that happens in your 20s
that's
to
true.
30s.
That's
real.
Yeah. If he can get it together, they can grow together, maybe.
Yeah. Which, like, it's implied at the end that, like, maybe they're at the same pace by the end of the movie and they might be able to mature at the same time. But it's also possible that Ramona will just, like, shoot right past him and be like, all right, man, I gotta go.
Yeah, that's real. And I know we try to go in order of the movie a little bit, but I do want to talk about the ending first.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
I know, wild. Mm. So they were filming this movie over a long period of time. There was a lot of plans that were put in place. and the comic book wasn't done yet. Oh. It was, I guess there's six or seven volumes or something. And so they weren't exactly sure. And in the original ending, he and Knives do get together. That's the high school 17-year-old. Hmm. But then in the ending they went with, he and Ramona try again. And I think the ending almost sticks the landing. But what I just really needed Knives to say to him, she says, I'm probably cooler than you anyway.
Yeah.
I wish if they had just made that, I am definitely too cool for you. Like, I think that would have been in keeping and really nailed it just a little bit more for me in terms of like, what is happening? Like, like, I don't know. Because Scott, to your point earlier, also Dan, like, Scott Pilgrim is not great.
Yeah.
He is not a great guy. And he literally apparently doesn't own anything in the apartment.
I think he had, like, I think he owned clothes on the floor and a jacket that wasn't as nice as Wallace's.
Yeah.
I believe that was the inventory that was shown on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just, you know, he's got a ways
but
to
Knives
go.
Is nice. So like when she says that, she meant it the way you wanted her to say it.
I guess right? so. Yeah.
She's like the nicest person in the movie.
She is.
Despite being a firebrand of a teen, I loved her. I loved the scene where she's just like going through just like emotional turmoil while her best friend is just like trying to keep up with her. That was so fun. Because the friend is just sort of like, what are you gonna do? Like she's already so over the Scott Pilgrim drama, but she's like, I mean, who else is she gonna talk to? I guess I'll
Yeah, great. Well, should we go through our bets?
Sure.
I didn't really write them down.
That's fine. I mean, it's only Respect Listener Opinion Month, so we might as well not try at all, right?
This is what I wrote down. There'd be a lot of up-and-comers in this movie.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
Lore. Stacked cast.
Yeah, even more stacked than we guessed.
Yes.
Chris Evans was our first guest. He is there. He's great.
He plays
action star skate.
He's
man.
Such a beautiful meathead. I laughed so much.
Love him in this movie.
Yes.
Oh my God.
His eyebrows are incredible, first of all.
His voice, the way that he's like, oh.
Yeah, like he's never not in action like, movie mode.
So good.
Yeah. I loved when he's like, I love his line delivery where he like just beats Scott down almost immediately. And then he just like, Silas out to Ramona and in the same voice just like, hey, how's it going? He seems nice. And just, like he's not emotionally invested in this at all.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed while his stunt doubles are beating up Scott. And he's like, I'll be with Gavi. You guys want anything?
Yeah. Like, what did he say? He had the amazing line where he's just like, oh, sometimes I let them do the wide shots when I just want to blaze in my winning.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that was so good.
That might be the line of the movie for me.
That was one of the that was a top one for me. And those were his real stunt people.
Nice.
That's cool.
That is cool.
It's kind of fun.
That seems like too many, though.
I mean, you know.
He's in a lot of movies.
People have different skill sets, man.
I don't know. At least some
of them were. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not all of them, but yeah.
I bet the main
certainly
guy
the
was.
Two guys in front.
For sure.
Come on.
For sure.
Sure, 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 sure.
He was great. And I know it was in the, like, honestly, I haven't watched a movie where I just really wanted to read the script more than this one. But there's a great moment where the Chris Evans character is in the movie and he dials on a payphone using the gun.
Yes. Oh,
it is like,
so perfect.
It's paced so beautifully and it's so over the top.
There's this like beautiful close up of him dialing 555 with the barrel of a handgun. And then after he gets his stupid line, he then violently hangs up by hitting the receiver with the butt of the gun. Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
It's incredible.
And it was on Spike TV, which is just absolutely perfect.
There were so many physical gags
that
were so incredible. I know we called out during the movie, and I just have to bring up Michael Cera washing his hands.
It really got
me. Remind me of when that happened. Which part was that?
He's.
I think he just. He's just in the... Sorry, Molly, you were going to say.
He pees as an escape, right?
Oh, yes.
For any difficult situation, he'll be like, I've got to go pee from boredom. I got to go... Like, whatever. So there's a lot of him just going and peeing. Right. And this one, you think the gag is that it's... There's nothing major happening on. But you think the gag is going to be the pee meter, mm-hmm. like game meter. And it is. But then, like, as he leaves, he kind of, like... It's almost like he has no life in his body. And he kind of rinses his hands and then gently touches like every towel.
Two towels, like both a hand towel and like a bath towel in the back of the door. Just like
so slaps them almost.
But yeah, just like this really. I love Michael Cera this. I always do, like Molly was saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's perfect cast for this movie. But just like the level of like always anxious.
Yeah, like always.
And like can't navigate his own emotions either, and just like they come out in this physicality that's so good.
Of, he just like exhausted. Can't get his shit together, like at any level.
Yeah,
at any level, even apparently the washing of hands.
Yeah. Even like deciding on which towel to use or fully committing to drying his hands, like neither of those things happens. He just like, I was thinking about how iconic his body is in this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be weird about Michael Cera.
Yeah, we all know what you're saying,
Mom. But. Yeah.
Just that straight tube of a man. Yummy.
But like,
speaking as a straight tube man myself, I think I can say that.
But like, yeah, just even like the shape of his body and the shape of his genes and how he embodies this character is so incredible and works so well with the martial arts elements and the stunts elements.
Like the volume of his hair in comparison to like the rest of his just tiny pathetic frame is so perfect.
I was just gonna say, I forgot about that bit that every time somebody mentions his hair, he has a hat on and it cuts back to it. It's so good.
And it's like the perfect hat where it's just one of those like floppy eared like caps. Oh yeah, he's everybody. I will go so far as to say that everybody was great at the part they were cast in this movie. Yeah. Like every person that showed up, I'm just like, they are nailing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're perfect.
And like consistently as well. I mean, this movie has a very specific style.
Yes.
And that I think is executed and everybody seems to understand it. Like a lot of times you see in a very stylized movie, someone doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And they're doing like just a normal movie thing and you're like, oh, you didn't get it. But I feel like everybody understands.
Crushed it.
It's
like it's everybody.
In theory, Edgar Wright is a good director at movies like this.
Sure,
right?
Seems that way. Yeah.
I mean, the other ones don't that I've seen aren't as stylish.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I love the. It's so funny because a lot of movies, you know, you imagine like, okay, you're just like, you're hanging out on the, with, you know, inside the green cube or whatever, right? And there's like one prop and maybe like a wall. And I feel like with this movie, like, it's probably a lot of practical sets, but then Edgar Wright had to be like, okay, so there's going to be a bunch of letters flying off of you in this scene. So just like, bring that energy, bring the level of energy that you would if you were firing letters off of your body.
Right. I mean, you really would have to convey what it will look like.
Yeah.
Because like there's just no way that you could picture that without being like, okay, here's what's in my mind.
Do you think
so? Please act this way.
Do you think like when Lucas Lee is grinding down that massive staircase that like Edgar Wright actually just had like a speedometer like in front of him? So like he could see, Chris Evans could see like, this is how fast you're going now.
Yeah. I mean, it must be something like that, right? Yeah. Now you're at 200 miles per hour.
That's incredible. Yeah, they all had to train so hard for it too, right? Because they all had to learn a lot of those moves and they all had to learn to play instruments, like the specific instrument they were cast in. Michael Cera, of course, is already an accomplished musician.
Wow.
He plays piano as well as guitar and bass.
Wow.
Yeah, you're a bigger Michael Cera fan than I thought you were.
Yeah,
wow.
Just information.
You know all these fun facts about like a blog, like a fan blog. Oh, fan Tumblr.
Actually, my one source for this movie is Wikipedia.
No.
This is Wikipedia.
One, two, three, four.
Great. Perfect.
Speaking of countdowns.
Yes.
I love Kim, the drummer, so much.
Ugh, she's like, she's the best.
She has the perfect, just withering glare. She's always calling Scott out on his shit, like in every scene. But she's still, I don't know. I like how she is like, she's not a jerk, right? Like she's not played like, oh, what a bitch. It's like, no. She knows Scott and knows he's a dumbass and will not let it slide at any moment. And I love it so much.
Yeah,
that's great.
She's really good.
Yeah,
I also love Aubrey Plaza was in the movie. Oh,
so good.
Julie. I forgot that she was in it. I love that character that she plays.
Yes,
her just like her eyes get so big, like it just is so scary looking.
Yeah, her aggressively cursing at Scott at the coffee shop was a lot of fun.
So yeah, good.
How do you do that with your
mouth?
And
I love that she just has different jobs. Like she's just. She has a job at every location that they're at.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even notice that. But yeah.
Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah. So good. And a lot of those locations are like peak Toronto. Like Pizza Pizza is like an institution there.
Oh,
nice.
They tried to really ground the movie in Toronto because the comic is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pizza Pizza sounds like a made up pizza place that you put into like a comic book inspired movie.
I mean, it's like the slogan of Little Caesars, right?
Sort
of.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be, or is it still?
It must be.
I mean, now it's more hot and ready, which is very disturbing. Mm.
That's cheap pizza.
Yep.
Not a fan.
That's what we're going to do.
Wow. You want to sponsor us, and then...
Spicy take.
Hot em, yeah.
Yum, yum. Who else do we think was in the movie?
Kieran Culkin.
McKieran O'Culkin.
He is the roommate.
Yes.
Who I couldn't decide. I couldn't decide how I felt about how his gayness was represented. I was like, I mean,
it was very 2010.
Yeah.
It felt like he wasn't like a gay best friend prop like you see in a rom-com.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he's sort of, and he was a very full-fledged character, but there still seemed some other sort of propishness to him as like a cool, like it's cool that he's gay.
Yeah. Which I guess is like pretty good for 2010, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, the fact that in 2010, like, there's this character, he's not a stereotypical gay character.
Right.
And he's like one of the best parts of the movie as, you know, just like his commentary and I don't know. Like the fact that he even existed in that part is, I think, more progressive than we think it was for 2010.
Right.
But today it's not maybe perfect. You know?
And I think part of it is that like it's in like for now it's sort of just like what am I trying to say? Like now, if they made a movie like that today, it'd be like, oh, it's cool that nobody cared. And like nobody even like it doesn't actually come up in conversation really at all. So like I feel like for 2010, it was cool that like people cared, but like only in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the script just hammers it too many times.
Yeah.
Right?
And that might be from the book too, which is also like a product of its time.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I like the way he played that character.
Oh my God. So funny.
Yeah, he's so funny.
He's such a like.
And I loved how like casually seductive he was.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he put almost no effort into it and people would follow him around. It was great.
Yeah, I really liked the line. Anna Kendrick plays his younger sister? It's unclear to me.
Yeah.
Now.
Younger sister. Okay. She's 18.
She's 18.
But she calls him little brother at one point, which I guess is like Jake is her nickname because he's such a dumbass.
Yeah.
But there's a great line from her where like she's just, they're at the club watching Sex Bob-omb, Scott's band, play. And like she's talking to somebody and then turns back and Wallace has like casually stolen her boyfriend and they're making out. And she just says, Wallace, again? I love the implied story there. Mm-hmm. Where she just apparently just like keeps going for dudes who are still figuring themselves out, and then Wallace just comes by and
just like, oh,
gives him another option.
And like, while Michael Cera always seems kind of 14, Anna Kendrick always seems kind of like 30.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it worked.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what their age, like compared to the, comparatively, I don't know what their ages are relative to each other.
In real life?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're pretty close in age, right?
I didn't look that up, but I've got to assume. Hey, you want to hear something I did look up?
Yes, please. We did sing the song, so.
Yeah, you did. So Beck was a pretty big influence in a lot of this. Okay. And he wrote and composed all the music that was played by Sex Bob Om.
Oh.
Sex Bob Om. And
it's
Bob
a Om. Character from the Super Mario Brothers franchise. Don't
oh, is it really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought
not the sex mind. Part. It's
I know,
not,
I was like,
they're not called Sex Bob Oms in the Mario universe. No. Maybe in the later games, I don't know.
Yes, it's a play on Sex Bomb.
Yes.
James.
What?
What's his name?
Oh, Jones.
What?
Tom Jones.
Someone's got a sex bomb.
Sex bomb.
Yeah. And the bomb from the Mario universe. We got there. Yes.
There you go. Well, there. That's what's important.
Make it sound like we got it right away.
Which, to the the source material's credit, is a perfect 2010 indie rock band name.
It is. Absolutely. Well, and this is one that I find interesting. So the songs took 2 days to write and record. And Beck said that it needed to be underthought. They had to be funny.
Yes.
But they also wanted them to sound raw, like demos.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. But also it's like, I gave 2 days to this.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
For art. But yeah. I gave 2 days.
It was on purpose.
That's probably all you need for like shitty 20-something music, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Not even a lot of songs, right?
Michael Cera sings to Ramona that he wrote for her.
Yes.
Like, there's so much in it, right? The playing guitar at her.
Yes.
And, like, the way he doesn't, he sings, but there are no words.
And you can barely hear him, too. Like, they even, like, mixed, like, even the sound mix in that scene is, like, so bad where, like, his voice is so muddled. And they that's like such a perfect moment. She's like, oh, I'll be curious. I'll love to hear it when it's finished. And it just cuts to his face, and he's like,
finished. Oh,
yeah. He does such a good job of this movie. I mean, like, I don't know. I can't get over like how everybody just like everybody's like, here's your character, here's their deal, and everybody just nails it.
Yeah,
like Brie Larson does such a hilarious thing with her voice that I can't even fully. Like,
it's very breathy.
Describe, yeah. But it's like she so like deliberate.
Yeah. She sounds like someone in a film noir.
Yeah. Yeah. But like,
I kept checking my phone. I was like, that's Brie Larson.
Yeah. Yeah. She was basically doing the Chris Evans of being. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Totally. Yeah. Like, she's just like never. Yeah. Like, she barely has any inflection at all. In her voice. She is constantly has, like this like breathy, like sexy baby thing going on. And it's just, I don't know, it's so perfect. And then that in combination with Brandon Ruth's just like doofus.
He was the vegan?
Yeah. Brandon Ruth and Chris
Evans.
Name. Yeah. They were both just like, they were neck and neck for like best just jacked meathead in this movie.
Yeah, he's really good too.
He's so good.
Everybody crushes. Everybody does. Like, yeah. Hands down.
Oh, that reminds me of who my MVPs of the movie were, and that would be the vegan police.
Oh,
which
yeah.
was just Thomas Jane and an actor who I see all the goddamn time and cannot pull his name, and I feel bad.
Yeah.
But they came in and they just are so perfect where it's like, where he's like, he drank some half and half, and the vegan police burst through a wall. And he's just like, surely I get more than one strike. And then the guy just like pulls out a notepad incredibly dramatically. He's just like, December 4th, 12:27 p.m.
That guy's name is Clifton Collins Jr.
Thank you. Yes. Ugh. They were so perfect.
Is he in Westworld?
I believe he's in Westworld. He pops up in stuff all the time. Yeah. But
Tom
they were
Day
so
makes
perfect.
Three Arrested Development casts, at least.
Oh yeah, that's true. Look at that.
Mae Whitman as well.
Oh, Egg. She fucking crushes it. Oh my God. She talks like she's been dubbed over in like a very, very cheaply dubbed Japanese anime. Like just like the speed at which she talks is like so equivalent of like they're just trying to fit all the dialogue into what little lip movements they have in the cartoon. Yeah. It's perfect. Oh.
Yeah.
She's great.
The X's.
That was also very 2010 progressive too. Like where it's like, you know, like just watching was like Ramona could just be bi, right? But they had to like kind of like dance around it a little of just like, oh, she was just experimenting. It's just like, just have her be bi. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Which is also very like good for them for 2010, but also like, who cares?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that worked though as a nice joke, right? Like,
yes.
In terms of like really upsetting your ex.
Yes. Yeah.
Didn't mean anything. I'm right here.
Yes. It did give Which us, then, I was by curious. Best. I'm by furious.
Maybe the best yes. line of the movie.
Is it though? I have questions.
I'm very happy about it.
Because I realize that part of the thing with this movie is that it's silly in parts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that line is too silly for me.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Even with the way Mae's playing it?
It's just like, I think that's part of it. It's like, she's like, you know, it's the beginning of that fight. And then all of a sudden, like, that's the line that she says.
Hell yes.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. She's a lot. She's very intense, Roxy.
There were so many moments in this movie that I laughed out loud.
Same.
I think, but I was just thinking about the first ex that he battles and he like turns into a bunch of coins and he just goes, ooh, coins.
Yes. Yeah. I really liked I liked Matthew Patel's vibe.
Yeah.
And I like how he was like it felt very real how mad he was that Scott only skimmed his email.
Yes.
Wow.
He read that email like he dried his hands.
Yeah.
Just real.
He was
just
bored. He got bored.
Just can't engage in the world.
No, he really can't.
Bless his heart.
Bless his little heart.
Schwartzman's the other bet we...
Oh, yes.
Haven't covered. He is in it. He's great.
He sure is.
He plays Gideon. Like the final boss.
Yeah.
Who, that again felt like very obviously we were putting a layer of like controlling man boyfriend.
Yeah.
And making it sort of game focused.
Right.
And I guess I kind of appreciated it, but it felt like, ooh, we're getting a little bit of Ramona, actual
yes.
depth to Ramona. I think it was maybe one of my problems with this is she is pretty prop-ish in this. And like, here's like some struggle that she's having and she can overcome it. And she sort of does, but it really is more couched as Scott learning self-respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely suffers, and this is what I was kind of worried about in the first half. Like, it definitely suffers from just like the need to make a movie that's a reasonable length, because like you definitely get more depth in his. Not, I don't remember if Envy gets a lot of backstory beyond what's in the movie, but like they really go deeper into the other women that he's dated. Like Knives gets a lot more stuff. Kim has like a whole fucking heartbreaking chapter in the book that is amazing. That is a shame that it wasn't in the movie, but I get why they had to cut it. But they like dig into more of just like, cause you know, they have like a couple of lines that sort of imply that Scott was super shitty to her.
Yeah.
But like in the book, they kind of dig into that a little more of just how like, you know, he was shitty in like a Scott way, not like he was like a, you know, monster, but just like it's clearly, they really hammered in like how Scott is like incapable of, like actually engaging with and supporting another human being. Right. And the book kind of dives deeper into like how Kim was sort of the, you know, maybe first victim from that side of Scott, and how she like fell for him really hard and he was incapable of doing any of that. I don't know. I remember really liking the Kim stuff is what I'm saying. So I'll probably read the books again very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that Scott Pilgrim, he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy.
He's not like malicious or like hostile or.
He's just like casually shitty in a very realistic way of like a guy who doesn't understand how to interact with other people. Like, in a way, because he didn't have to, right? Yeah. And it's like now it's sort of coming to terms to a degree of like, oh, I have to be nice to people. I think I complained about this on some other movie, but I struggle with his arc being like he realizes he cheated he cheated on both Knives and Ramona is like the big realization.
Yeah.
And like that's how he beats the boss. And it's good. He should realize that. But it's just not much of a.
It's a low bar.
Yeah. How much of a needle push?
I will say, I guess I'm really pushing people to read the book because like the whole like, oh, you have to fight your like the negative version of yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that is like an actual protracted conflict. Like, I'm sure, again, they had to just cut it for time. Or maybe it just hadn't been written yet, like Molly was saying.
Yeah.
But, like, there is actually, like, a protracted conflict he has with his, like, the negative aspects of his own personality that are, like, fleshed out more in the book.
So it was very funny that they passed over
just,
it, though.
And just, they, like, yeah, they're just like, oh, we're going to get brunch.
They're going to get pizza.
That's pretty funny.
That made me laugh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get why they had to do it. But, like, yeah, in the book, it does, like, it does a little more of what you're, criticizing with Dan, where like it focuses a little more on like his own self-actualization.
Yeah,
but it's like all done in like five lines of dialogue in the movie, basically. Yeah. Right.
You know, all of this reminds me of when I was in college in Athens, Georgia. Don't dox me. I happened to be out getting lunch.
It's weird that a Soviet state would have a city named after a Greek city.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia in the United States.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah.
The Grill is like a pretty popular standard place downtown. And I was eating there and it was like the fall. It was the very beginning of fall quarter. And there was this girl sitting with like three guys and they were so horrible. And I remember just being like, would it be wrong for me to just stop by and be like, just leave them. just whatever this is awful and you can do so much better. Like I wanted to, and I feel like in, it, not that it would have made any difference. I mean, when I was like older than that, somebody was like, drop this guy. Drop him like a rock right now. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go through a torturous 2 or 3 years. Why do you bring that up? But like the whole vibe of investing a lot of time into a thing that literally cannot reciprocate,
yes.
You know, like does not have the life or emotional skills to even receive what you're wanting, you know, the whole thing. But I did appreciate that roommate did try, you know, did try.
Are you talking about your Knives. Roommate or Wallace?
No, I'm sorry. Oh. I switched to Wallace.
In who?
Well, who's invested? Okay. I was saying that for me in my 20s, I made terrible choices.
Got it.
And I watched people make terrible choices. And I always fantasized about like, should I just say directly to someone, you need to move on?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is awful. And then watching it in the movie where Wallace says to her, he's awful, dump him, you're better than him, right?
Oh, immediately.
Just straightforward, right? Immediately. And I was like, oh, somebody did say that to me.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody did literally say, drop that guy, drop him like a rock, drop him right now. Like that directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, ah, you know, like I couldn't, I couldn't hear that.
Yeah,
I had to go through like 2 or 3 years of really brutal, awful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That like I in theory I could have avoided, but you actually can't talk to your 20-year-old self or to any other 20-year-old. Like
you can't talk to 20-year-olds. Full stop.
What a waste. Full stop.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, I feel like there's something to that, right? Like if somebody, especially when you're a teenager, mm-hmm. like if somebody tells you, you know, anything, you almost immediately think the opposite thing.
Right.
Or like, you know, it's different for me. It like, yeah. you right, know, yes. it's not yeah. going to be, not going to be the same thing. So it is like, there are some things like that where I feel like it's just part of being a young person.
Yeah.
You know, you have to kind of learn that like, oh, I do actually deserve to be with somebody better or whatever it is.
Yes. I like how they kind of touch on, like, Scott has like a little bit of self-awareness, or maybe it's just like metatextual self-awareness in the movie where like anytime someone pushes him to like do the mature thing, he's just like, but it's so hard. It's hard. Like anytime Wallace tells him to do anything responsible and mature, he's just like, just this petulant little baby.
Well, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, okay, this is a Totes Recall trademarked script idea.
Okay.
So okay.
Don't do it. Anybody else? We'll never write this, but in case. I think it would be so interesting to do a movie where somebody gets to keep going back and trying to talk to themselves. So they try at like teens, they try early 20s, they try early 30s. Like how old would your past self have to be before it would listen to your future self?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
whoa,
I would listen 30? To my future self now.
Now I feel like I would.
Yeah.
Sure. Now you're like, please, God, tell me. Is everything okay?
any sort of answers, please.
Is your arm, are all of your arms still real? Are you a cyborg? did the pigs come south? Are we?
This marriage, good idea, bad idea. Need to know.
Listen, how long does this car last? Hey, hey, come back.
Yeah.
Cisco,
the rapper?
Cisco, the service company. No, I can't even
the thong
get
song?
Out.
Is the thong song back?
No. Wait, does the thong song come back? It gets a comeback it deserves?
No, I was trying to make a stock joke.
Oh.
By Cisco or by Cisco?
Sure.
Got it.
Yeah.
I bet
it's
my
a classic stock joke.
I bet when my older self listens to this episode, I will laugh and laugh at that joke.
Sorry, teens.
Buy some stocks, you teens.
Yeah, teens.
Oh my god.
Honestly,
but hey,
though,
if you do
you
have
should.
A kid, start a 529
oh, yeah,
immediately,
no, if you,
even
yeah.
if it's only a dollar.
If you have like any income whatsoever.
Invest now, compound interest.
Get yourself a Roth.
You
really
can
do that math
child.
And be and realize how much money you can have if you're invested.
They told me in high school. I was like, I can't do that.
Really?
I didn't know
they
what they were talking
you?
About.
Yeah, we had a whole. We watched a whole like Schoolhouse Rock on compound interest.
You. They didn't tell us shit.
But then it's like you don't get
there
paid enough
be...
to do anything until it's too late. It's never
sure.
Too late. Invest now.
That's also true.
That's true. But like,
but
I
even
don't know.
If it's like $50 a month. That adds up.
Yeah.
But make sure, sure you're paying, make sure you're putting your first $50 into totesrecall.com. Patreon.com slash totesrecall, of course.
I mean compound
That's
interest from
investment.
How much we respect you.
Listen, the ROI on Totes Recall is through
those
the roof.
Shirts will only increase
yeah,
in value.
Absolutely.
They only will appreciate.
And ROI stands for respect on interest.
That's right.
Yes.
Our
yes.
bits are compounding on top of each other to the point where no one understands.
Including us.
Say anymore.
Including us.
We're yeah. just like a bunch of AIs generating
oh, God.
Trash at each other.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, we kind of are.
Anyway,
at
529.
Least you and I are.
Yeah. 529s reminded me that's the one thing you can't give your child.
Yeah.
Because advice doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because they never
oh,
take it. Because
sure.
this is not about the movie anymore. This
Hold
is
on. Is this Dan's parent corner?
Yeah, Dan's parent corner.
Nice.
This is where I think Molly and I connect on listen back something. Totes Recall.
What?
I got lost in my own memory palace. Yeah, I feel like parenting is to the degree you're trying to give your past self mm-hmm. advice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like you see yourself in your child and you go like, I don't want you to fuck up the same way I did. Mm-hmm. So here's some advice. Guess what?
They don't
want to hear it.
Not even when they're little and malleable. They're still like, no.
I got this. I'll figure it out.
I got this.
I'm just hoping it 100%. Rattles around there somewhere, and then like 20 years from now, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I may not have the physical, emotional, or mental capability to do this thing, but I refuse to do anything but do it myself. It's that for years.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they do that, I guess, and are quiet in their rooms. Just being stubborn.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, so this movie was pretty good. Yeah.
Looks cool.
Looks cool.
As we
cool.
predicted.
Yep.
So cool.
I love how they put all the overlay stuff on. It's like just enough. It feels like these are real people living in the world, and sort of it's right between like, is this actually happening, or is this just everybody's perception, or is this just the style of the movie? And like all of those answers are yes and
correct.
Fine.
Yeah.
I did appreciate when they would cut back to other characters who were reacting in shocked ways. I was like, okay, good. Yeah, I just need to get grounded on whether everybody's like, yeah, absolutely. This happens all the time, these battles.
Totally normal that they're like spin kicking somebody across the room. I did appreciate that. I like how, because this is like the reality they live in, like so much of the weird little graphics happen from like the most banal actions. Right? Like there were so many times where like they would just, I don't know, turn their head too fast and like it'd make a little whoosh.
Yeah.
Or like they'd make like video game noises if they like were quietly emotionally responding to things.
Yeah. The vegan punching a hole in the wall and then casually using his hand to move a sofa full of people out of the way was like one of the greatest like physical gags
in it.
And it goes so fast.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I love, what was the stupid joke? It's just like, oh, you know, you usually only use 10% of your brain. That's because the rest of the other 90% is full of curds and whey.
Yeah, curds and whey.
I really like the, I like how you learn after he gets de-veganed by the vegan police that like the only reason his hair could be that cool is because he had vegan psychic powers. Like he was apparently like low level holding it up with his psychic powers at all times.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. Loved it.
Oh, that's great.
I loved it. I love all the goofy shit that they just toss in there.
Yeah. This was our Respect Listener Opinions movie, as we all know. And
winner.
Respect.
Yay.
Whoever voted for this movie, we respect you.
We respect you the most.
We also respect you if you did not vote for this
But we
movie.
Respect you less.
Yeah.
What? No. We're just lots of respect.
We respect
There's
you less.
There's plenty to go around.
Yes,
our
but
respect
most
is
of the
much
respect
less
is-
obvious. Like some people, it's obvious we respect you because we watched the movie you picked.
We made an entire episode of the podcast about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be like, we respect you voted, but like.
Totally. Wow. Listen, it's like real democracy, right? Like the people who are giving you the most, right? Like doing the most for your own benefit, which is giving us a movie to watch.
Are the pharmaceutical industry?
I mean, that's one of them, sure.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, if you voted for
Scott Pilgrim, super PAC yet.
That's true. Hey,
for Ralam.
Listeners? I mean, no, that was true. I was going to say Heather did for the horse movie. That was more dark money. That wasn't really.
We don't approve.
That was, that wasn't even a word. Absolutely. Sort of.
And what were you going to say, Dan? I really feel like you on a roll.
As part of that voting, as you will know if you voted, we asked some questions to you because we like feedback once a year. And I wanted to share some of these. In all honesty, it's always great to do these. We love hearing what you have to say because it's positive. I can't be earnest. Okay.
What are you, Scotty P?
Yeah, right. Saw a lot of myself in him in this movie.
Indie boy.
Okay. So first question, how did you hear about us? I'm just highlighting a few. I appreciate all the answers. If I didn't read yours, I still liked it.
We will definitely all read them ourselves in our own time. So you will be heard.
And we will be so mad at Dan for not picking yours.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll tell you that right now. I'm already furious.
No question.
We'll definitely picked these to make myself look better. Speaking of, first one, how did you hear about us? I know Dan Jaquette. He's a good evangelist for the show. Thank you very much.
Great. Great. That's great.
Did you write that one?
No, of course not.
Okay.
People, just a little peek behind our curtain. Dan is an excellent bringer whenever we do shows together in that he will text the same four people, including me, the day before the show.
That's true.
And these usually are people who might also be in the show.
I'm off social media and I don't have many friends. All right. I Googled podcasts about Groundhog Day and you had just done that episode. Great.
Oh, wow. Very
fun.
Cool.
Serendipity.
Wow. Like that must have happened before Google punched itself in the dick and ruined itself.
Yep. Friend took me to a live show, fell in love.
Oh, that's amazing. You.
How else did you hear about us? Dan Linden's butt.
Wow. Wait a minute. I mean, yeah. I mean,
What?
Listen.
Somebody actually put that, though, is what I said.
Oh, yeah. I can think of many listeners and multiple executive producers who might have written that.
All right.
So.
And then we had a few for Good Luck High Five. Shout out to that podcast, nice. Magic Podcast, our friends do. This person said, Good Luck High Five. Also, when will Dan be back there? Great cross promotion.
Wow.
Yeah. Great question.
Hear that?
A lifetime ago, I did a certain lovelorn dragon.
With an egg on its head.
Nicol
right?
Bolas. Yeah, he's got an egg on his head. Looking for a mate to hatch with.
Aww.
I think I'm on a web series. What's up?
How did he sound?
Hello, it's me, Nicol Bolas.
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they haven't had me on a long time because I haven't played Magic in like 40 years.
Oh, you're not bringing in the money, baby. Yeah.
But go listen to that if you like Magic. The Gathering. It's not close up Magic. They don't do any like rabbit out of the hat shit.
They've never done any close up Magic?
They should, right? I don't know.
At least once.
Yeah.
Good luck, high five.
I agree.
Hey.
All right.
All right.
We also asked for bits, and we got a bunch of them. Thank you for those.
Like
we are going
to
try
for us to do like new bits.
No, re-explained bits that we've done to us, or at least identifying them.
Perfect. Okay. This is very helpful.
We will go back, and we're going to record some content. Trying to remember what those bits actually mean. Speaking of compounding bit tryst.
I love it.
That might be a name for the thing. No, salad
nope,
bowl.
Nope,
check it out.
Nope. Okay.
All right. And the final question we left open-ended. Anything else you want us to know? We think you're great, which we do. Mm-hmm. Here's one. I think you are all great. You produce the most consistently hilarious podcasts I listen to, and I listen to podcasts made by professional comedians.
Hey.
So you're doing a good job. A little bit left-handed. Honestly, I should put this sentiment in a review. I never leave reviews for things because I am a consummate introvert, but at this point, I think I can overcome that to say in public that what you all make is genuinely great.
Aww.
Thank you very much. Warms my cockles.
Oh.
I thought he was... I thought that was a Macaulay thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's their cousin.
Warms McCockles.
That's their cousin.
Yeah. Warms McCockles.
Warms McCockles.
Oh, it's me. Oh, it's me, Warms McCockles. I've just come over from Dublin. I'm ancient ancestor of your McCulkins.
Okay. Oh, McKieran, what a joy it was to see you be a piece of shit in the capitalist hellscape that is the New York City media conglomerates.
Worms McCockles.
Worms McCockles. Oh, it was such a joy to see young McCulkey hitting Daniel Stern with a paint can. Oh, maybe those years ago.
Home alone. I wish the British would leave us alone. Apologies to our Irish listener. I assume we haven't gotten any more.
Or you're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Here's another one.
Great.
I don't remember if I brought this up before, but hot teens funny as a risque but logical outgrowth of cool it teens just sounds jarring when one of you 35-year-olds says it out of context. That's a bit that I think could be retired. I think you're great too.
That's a great idea.
It's fair feedback.
It's fair feedback. I doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gotten better at mostly just yelling at teens.
Yeah, it's been a while since we really...
really laid into hot teens.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hot teens are not teens that are attractive.
No, they're running too hot.
They're running too hot, and they need to cool it.
They could be attractive.
Sure, like no judgment.
But yeah. Not to us. We're 35 years old.
But not to us.
Old.
We're old.
No, they're like Matthew Patel's teens.
Yeah.
Who? Like the Matthew Patel of teens. A character from the movie we just watched, Molly.
I don't remember that.
He literally shot fireballs out of his hand.
He was the first ex.
I don't.
Oh. He had to cool it.
Okay, got
it. He had to cool
it.
He had fire. Like that. Cool. Anyway, thank you for your feedback.
But that's a good point.
Yep.
Sure.
Each episode is a huge gift, and I'm so excited you're still going strong 10 years in.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is so nice.
I'm going to make Molly cry here.
I think that's just her eyes. Or her
oh,
eyes
okay. That's right. She's having medical issues.
Yeah.
I am, but I am moved. And I would cry, except that my eye hurts so much. Okay, keep going.
I love the release schedule. Once a month would be all right, but not... but too hard to keep up with. But I really love the Patreon bonus episodes being nice little surprises. Love the new rating stats on the website. I really need to sign up for the Patreon.
Yes, you do. But also, thank you.
Yeah. Beth did all the website work.
Yeah.
She's great, too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I do not want to be the New Yorker of podcasts.
What?
Because I tell you what, the New Yorker magazine, it comes once a week.
Okay. Oh.
And at first, it's fun. Yeah. And then you just have piles of them, and they keep coming. And it's just
there.
I had to call to cancel, and they explained to me that I could get a huge discount if I stayed. And I was like, you have to make it stop. I can't keep up. Anyway, so glad the pace is good. Thank you.
And how about those comics? Are they funny?
They are. I think they're funny. My husband does not. He's always like, I don't get what that is.
Yep. I only read them in dentist office when I was a child.
Nice.
Precocious.
Looking for the one cartoon. Anything there.
All right.
Gorbachev.
Oh, man. These two guys on a desert island just made a joke about New York real estate prices.
Yeah. It's like boring Far Side.
Yeah, it is. That's accurate.
Did you know this is just a quick New Yorker aside. There was a show all about people who like get together and they do a rejected New Yorker cartoons night.
Nice.
And they just all share what got rejected. It seems so great. Anyway, I'm sorry, Dan. Keep going.
You're good. I've collected random IRL encounters with three of the four hosts.
Wow.
Mostly resulting in bemusement and hopefully a little amusement.
Of course.
I mostly shared this because I really wanted to know who the three were.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, gosh. It was
do you
probably
know who it was?
No. I mean, I could have looked it up, but I'm not going to
dox
them.
No, I love
even
this.
If I knew.
No, I love this mystery.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me throw this out there to this person. If and when you ever come across the fourth person, just say, you're the fourth one, and it'll be such a joy.
Yep.
Such Please a do. Joy.
I hope
Please
it's me.
That would be great. Yeah.
I hope it's me. I just want that. I want to experience that for myself.
If it's me, I will give you a fist bump. I'll offer my fist, and you can choose to bump it.
But also, I just want to make it very clear that if you have met me before, and then you come across me and say you're the fourth one, and I find out that you did that just to try to amuse me,
that fist is doing something else.
That's right. I will punch the highlights out of your hair.
Wow.
That's right.
Like Vegan Todd did Knives Chow talking about the movies. Oh, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Sidebar.
Bringing it back.
Once again, as... all movies do.
Yes.
Women could only fight each other. Men can't fight women.
Except for the loophole where the woman uses the man like a puppet because the rules dictate that she must be defeated by his own fists.
Yeah. It captures my imagination. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either. Anyway.
Unclear.
But, yeah. But Knife Chow does get hit by a man.
That's
right.
True.
But like a full on fight.
Big moment,
happen.
Right?
It is a big moment. That's how you know Todd's a dick.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that's when Scott is like, you're a dick. And they fight.
And it furthers Scott's arc.
Yes.
You got it. Yeah. Well, that's what women are there to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
Holy shit, did this pass the Bechdel Wallace test? Oh my God.
I've been thinking about it the whole time. Did it?
Yep.
When?
Oh, sure.
All the time.
That's true. Yeah.
I felt
like they were
always talking about Scott, though.
No, there were some times where it was like, wow, you're really good at drums.
Yeah.
It's really
cool.
Or
like Julie and Envy talk to each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It passes.
Okay.
Great.
At some point, you mentioned that we would win a prize for listening to all of the episodes, and I finally did that with Mr. Holland's Opus.
Whoa.
This is me tweeting at you. Do I win? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get you a prize.
It's sure. This. We read your note on air.
What? No. Come on. I'll send them a cup.
We did
or
say.
A glass or something.
On our,
oh, did we actually
well,
say
on
something?
On our 100th episode, we said if you watch all of the movies on the list and become a true cinephile like Dan and I,
that's right.
Then you get a prize.
Nice.
If you head to the website and you click on fun, there's a I'm a true cinephile link underneath that, and then
nice.
You can fill that form out when you have completed that list.
That is
amazing.
Wow, yes.
Is it 100 or 123? Did we go that deep?
It's 100. It was because we had just done 100 episodes. Okay. But now we have, I think this is 145, 146 or something like that. So, I mean, if you really want to be a true cinephile, you'd watch 123 movies.
And you're going to have to build another page on the website.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Well.
That's
pretend
easy.
I did.
Sponsored.
Yes.
Someone wrote more horse movies.
Mm. Oh, I wonder
who could that be?
Someone
could that be?
Are there other horse movies?
I don't
honestly
know.
Black Beauty.
There are so many horse movies. You shut
what's
your
the one
face.
With three
down?
Animals
I'm genuinely
are trying
asking.
To get. There's like
oh,
three
yeah.
animals. They're trying to get home.
One of them could be a horse. Yeah.
Nope.
Are they horses?
Nope. No,
horse word bound. I think it's three. Horse word bound is
nope.
What it's called. Yeah.
Nope.
Thank you.
By Furious.
My Friend Flicka. There's another one.
Black Beauty.
I already said that.
Yeah, he already said it.
Spirit.
Horse Whisperer.
Spirit. Something. Just
there are lots of them. Can we just
War Horse?
We were.
I was genuinely asking.
Vidalgo.
What?
Vidalgo.
Wasn't there one the Iscariot or something? Did you
oh,
know?
Oh, Steve Biscuit.
Did you know this? This is horse info.
Steve Biscuit.
Steve Biscuit is friends. His friend. What was his name? Worms McCockles.
Yeah, Steve Biscuit is Worms McCockles' manager. Oh, Steve, are you going to get me in that new Kieran Culkin movie? Worms, Kieran said, he said he'd think about it, but.
Yeah, you don't want to be accused of, nepotism.
Nepo babies.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve, what are distant relatives? I'm from Ireland.
I'm not even an actor. I just love the movies.
Steve Biscuit.
That is a great manager name.
It's a fantastic name. Oh.
What are we talking about?
Listeners, please remind us of this bit next year. Yeah. Go on.
Our final comment that I'm sharing is we refer to the podcast in our house as Four Friends from Minnesota.
Nice.
Aww.
That's us. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who filled out the survey. Thank you to everybody that listens. It is meaningful to have our dumb stuff amuse people.
Enjoyed.
Yeah. Be enjoyed. So thank
you. I'm glad that other people find it as fun as we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we find it fun.
Just to confirm, everybody, after 145 episodes, we do find it fun.
I love that Dan is turning into a bigger grump every episode. Yes, we found that enjoyable. Thank you for tuning in.
The content of this
Keep
podcast
your radio
is
down.
Acceptable.
It is. And warms my cockles.
Wow.
Steve's my biscuit.
Don't let Steve Biscuit hear. We have to pay a trademark every time we
oh,
say that.
No.
Name.
Yum, yum, Steve
yeah,
Biscuit.
Yeah, have to pay a fee. A royalty.
That's on his business card.
Yep.
Yum, yum.
Biscuit Steve, in the biz.
Yeah.
Steve
best.
Biscuit, yum, yum.
Yes.
He'll get you the biscuit.
Oh!
Is the biscuit
the biz
money?
Kit.
The biz
I don't
kit.
Know.
Oh,
I'm
Steve
I'm,
Biscuit's biz kit?
Oh, Beth.
Marketing
Beth.
Genius.
Jesus Christ. That's amazing.
Our talents are wasted on a comedy podcast.
Yes.
We should be in marketing, all of us.
Steve Biscuit's biz kit, trademarked.
Yeah.
Trademarked.
Wow. All right. I'm gonna think about that all night.
Yep.
It's just it's a briefcase with your soul inside.
Oh, wow. Jesus, Molly.
Biz gets a devil?
Oh, jeez. How does that help you with biz?
I don't know.
That's where you put it like... when you do biz.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's you how you get to the top.
Soulless, yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah. So it should, well, okay, so it should be like a briefcase with like a stapler and some like, you know, whiteboards.
Rolodex.
Multiple whiteboards?
You never know when you have to throw together a presentation.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you gotta have the one that turns around so you can do a big reveal.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. And we're gonna make all this money with plastics.
Just like that John Hamm meme, but like the thing on the placard is like, your idea here. No, the other meme. But that one too, sure.
Speaking of John Hamm.
What?
He's probably on Discord. He seems like the kind of guy who'd have a Discord.
He's best friends with Steve Biscuit.
Oh.
Ham and Biscuit.
Ham and Biscuit.
Yeah, that was their duo. They were doing like a vaudeville thing when they were kids.
That rocks.
And then Ham went into show biz.
And then Biscuit followed.
Biscuit went into biz biz.
Yeah.
I hate this. Now I hate this.
Okay. Yum yum. Yum yum. Biscuit. What's next?
Discord is next, a text-based chat platform. Where we turn to our patrons and ask them for Q's and C's, and this time I asked for R's.
What does R stand for?
Respects.
Did they know that?
I didn't explain it. I can't say whether they knew it or not.
Okay, great.
So we'll see. We'll see if anybody gave us any R's. Fra first asks, a lot of actors learned how to play instruments and perform songs for this movie. Which was your favorite song?
Ooh.
I appreciated that the song that Sex Bomb is playing at the end is just they're saying no fun over and over as they're like corporate shills. I like that. Mm-hmm. But I think I did really, I actually liked the Clash at Demon Heads song. Yeah, I was like, this is legit.
Like legit rips.
2000s indie jam.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I looked it up because I was like, I like this song and it's a metric song.
Mm. Oh.
So, anyways, Metric is great. Beck is great. The music in this is great.
Yep. And I guess Envy was based off of the lead singer of Metric.
Oh cool. Mm.
I have to say the song that Scott Pilgrim sings that he has written
for Ramona
is my fave.
It's pretty good.
But it's all good. And it makes me want to go back and listen to the soundtrack.
Yep. All right. The reference machine asks... Hell yes. Wow. I love this movie. The casting is excellent. For me, this stands as one of the best book-to-screen adaptations. What are some of your favorite adaptions, and why do you think so many of them are duds?
Ooh. Ooh. Great question.
What a great... I will say the show Normal People on Internet Hulu. sorry, I know, but people might actually want to find it.
Sure.
It is so good. The show is great. And then I went back and read the book and I was like, oh no, the movie was better. Or like the made for TV series, whatever it was. It was great.
Cloud Atlas is one of my favorite books. And the Wachowskis made it into a movie and I thought it was fantastic.
I think they made it into... Yeah, I think they made it into as successful of a movie adaptation of that fucking nutso book you possibly could make.
Yeah, the book's weird. It's great, though.
It's wild. Yeah.
I personally love the movie A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Never seen it.
It's got Jim Carrey playing Count Olaf, and he's so good in it. But it's actually not really a good adaptation of the books. It takes the story, but it's essentially they make a story out of the first three books.
Oh.
But I really, really love it. I've watched it many times.
So this is different than the one that was the TV series with Neil Patrick Harris in there.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep.
The baby in that is priceless.
Yeah.
Oh. Most incredible reaction shots I've ever seen.
There's a good baby in the movie, too.
Oh.
Yeah, that it is.
Wait, what did you say?
Dan was belittling your position.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that a lot of, I think that I don't know. It's funny that, like, I'm trying to think, because, like, there are definitely some adaptations of books that are, like, very good adaptations of books in the sense that they have pretty accurately adapted the book.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also just kind of like, that didn't need to be a movie, right?
Yeah.
And then there's other movies that are technically adaptations of books, but they're, like, so vastly different. And then you're like, oh, wow, it's amazing that they, like, polished this turd enough to make a movie that successful, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's hard to adapt a book. There's so,
absolutely.
Like, I mean, as we were talking about with this movie, there's, like, mm-hmm. so many details that you can get across in a book that you cannot get across in an hour and, what was it? It was, like,
it's 152, I think.
152, yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, even 2 hours, that's not enough time to get everything in one thing.
Well, and especially a book, like, you can see exactly what everyone's thinking.
Yes.
Right.
Which is really fun.
Yeah, I think it's hard to capture the breadth is why I think they're duds. Usually.
Yep. Yeah. Or
they're just so literal. Oh man, Christopher Columbus's version of the first Harry Potter movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, wow, this is exactly like the book.
Except
the
point where not.
It helps that the book was like 80 pages long, right?
What? I guess they messed with Ron. What else? What else was different, Beth? Oh, do you remember?
Yeah, the entire, like, all of the things. Well, I shouldn't say all of them, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that they have to do when they go to find the Sorcerer's Stone that is in the book that is not in the in the movie. Yeah. I was very mad about it when it came out. I was like, that's not what's in the book.
I remember, even though everyone now, I feel like a lot of people say the third one is one of the better ones, but I remember being really mad at the third one because they cut out the part of the book I found the most interesting. I don't remember what that was. I just remember at the time being like, why didn't they keep that part in?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, it's harder. It's harder to enjoy a movie if you've...
That's my answer.
That's a great one. Adaptation's
great.
That's mine.
Good. Adaptation.
Anyway, this is a great QNC. We got to move on.
Sorry. We could have a whole podcast about this shit. Yeah. There probably is one.
I feel like if we had a Scott Pilgrim versus the World meter above Dan's head right now,
yeah,
there would be a meter that was as closer you get to bedtime,
yes,
the grumpier it gets.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Sounds like a graph.
So it's not you. It's not you wonderful people who submitted your Q's and C's. It's Dan.
I also am... I like to be respectful, especially in Respect Listener Opinion Month, of Beth's editing time. Because every month is Respect Beth Month.
Oh, nice.
That's just like where I operate from.
That's just your thing. That's your thing. Right?
And I think, Molly, you missed it before, but I think all babies are priceless. My last name's a palindrome. Asks, one of the strengths of the comic is that it really shows how selfish and immature Scott is to the point that he is his own worst enemy. Do you feel that point is missing or softened in the movie? I think we talked about this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they did a better job than I was worried they were going to in making it clear that he sucks. Like, I feel like in the first 15 minutes, you're like, oh yeah, okay, the movie knows he sucks. Because I was worried it was just going to be like, oh, look at this weird indie boy. It's like, haha, isn't it funny? It's like, no, everyone's calling him out on being full of shit,
and he's like stoked about having a Chinese girlfriend in a weird racist way, but like just a little bit. It's
honestly, I felt in a very accurate, like, hipster 20-year-old in the 2000s way.
Also, my last name is Baldwin goes on to add, also, I love the visual language of the movie and would love to see more movies play with that style. I agree.
Agreed.
I agree.
I think especially now, like, a lot of that was so hard to do during the time they were making this movie. It'd be so much easier now.
Yeah. Karzan asks, if you've watched the recent anime adaptation with the same voice cast, which version of the story did you like better? I haven't watched it.
I'll probably watch it now because after watching it, I'm just like, oh, I wonder what that's like.
I thought the same thing. I didn't realize that it's the same cast from the movie.
It apparently is like, it's very much just like a reflection of this movie. And I mean that not in a literal way, in like the literary way, right? Like, it's sort of like this weird parallel. Like, it's not quite the same story, but it's like all the cast or most of the cast came back to voice the characters.
Well, I wonder if it's able to go more in depth on the things that we were talking about, because
it's a series
of episodes rather than just a movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So TBD on that answer, Karza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, TBD.
We're like TVD.
Hey. Oh. Ooh.
Very good.
Respect.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Probably the best line of the night.
Yeah. Yep. Boodle Horse asks, in honor of...
Boodle Horse.
Ah, Boodle Horse.
Nay.
In honor of Ramona, what fun color would you dye your hair?
Ooh. Man, I was always so interested in the idea of dyeing my hair as a teen. And I was always so chicken shit about it because I was always just like, what if it's awful? Forgetting, of course, that, you know, the entire purpose, the entire idea of dyeing hair is you can dye it again. Mm-hmm. I did bleach it once in one summer. And that's the only time I actually colored it by not coloring it. It was 2001, 2000. It was very much a time where young men would bleach their hair and gel the shit out of it.
I go with purple. I'm going with purple.
Maybe go like, I don't know. I really like the blue when she had blue hair. I thought that was a cool color.
Yeah. One time I did a sketch where I had to wear a blue wig and I was like, I actually like how this looks.
Nice. Yeah. That looked great. Yeah. I tend to favor the like magentas and blues over greens and stuff. I remember there was a moment when I was in college that I was like, oh man, if I'm ever going to shave my head, it needs to happen now.
Yeah.
Because like I'm going to have to like go get a job and do other things. And I remember one of my roommates was like, don't do that. So see, I did listen sometimes.
Yeah.
I changed my answer. It's light purple.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow. Dan seems
Respect.
Upset. Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay.
Not
Great.
Dark purple. Were you going to do dark purple?
Yeah, probably a darker one, but it's also okay if we have the same hair color with me.
I'm going to do light purple. Like the lilac color.
Guys, should we start a pop punk band so we can all dye our hair?
Yes.
And be allowed?
Be allowed.
Let society allow 35-year-olds to have color in their hair?
Yeah, we got to wait till we're like 65. Then you can start doing purple hair again.
And you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not now? If not now, when?
Yeah.
65.
In 20 years.
Not who, then, if not you, then who?
What?
Be the hair you want to be.
That's right. Boodle Horse goes on to ask, favorite X?
Favorite what?
X. Oh, favorite X. Wow.
Ooh.
Todd's the one that pops to mind. Is he the vegan?
Oh, I thought she meant our own. I was like, well.
I did too, but I don't have any. Good answer for that.
It's not clarified. So
I guess either one you want to answer.
Yeah.
Todd's your favorite MVX.
Yeah, right now in this moment. Yep.
I think I'll go with Roxy because I feel like Beth gave her short shrift for her line delivery.
Wow.
And also she was great.
Wow. She was great.
I mean, mine is Chris Evans.
Sure. Mm-hmm. A very respectable answer. He is delightful.
Thank you.
I would say everyone except the last one. The Jason Schwartzman one.
Yeah.
You're meant to really hate
him. Oh, he's supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Really fun and like the other. I mean, the other ones are not
succeeds.
That fun.
Yeah, right.
He's a creep supreme for sure.
For sure.
But I will say I enjoy the Roxy fight where she finds him in the alley, and I enjoyed the first fight with Patel. Matthew Patel.
Yeah. That might actually be part of it because, like, as much as it's funny that girls must only fight girls, when Ramona and Roxy are fighting, that scene ripped. That was probably the coolest fight in the whole movie.
She just pulls out, like, the biggest mallet you've ever seen.
So good.
So,
it's like
Looney
a
Tunes.
Fucking warhammer out of her purse.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about the twins at all.
They're great.
I think they...
I don't remember their name.
I feel like I don't remember either. I think they got significantly cut down. I feel like they have a more prominent place in the book.
Yeah. They're mostly there for cool kaiju battle.
Yeah.
Fight, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
All right. Arkhammer asks, this movie has an absolutely stacked cast with some folks, Monsignor Sarah and Ruth, that have already been leads of major films and several that would blow up in the next decade. Who were you most surprised to see in 2024? I was most surprised to see Brie Larson, who I feel like, I don't know. I didn't realize, like, it was like, oh, she did The Room, right? And that was like, and then was a Marvel lady.
Right.
And that's
and then
like,
you realize
my
she's been like
of her
a child actor since she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the vegan police. I forgot they even showed up at all as characters, but I was delighted that they were recognizable actors.
There's an actor, he's like the pretentious guy at the party that is the first person. I don't know his name, but he's in so many things.
Very
he's
familiar,
in Veep.
Yeah.
He's in The Office for a while, The American Office. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, he's in this too. He's all over the place.
Look at him go.
Yeah, I loved all of it. I agree with all those. I respect Beth's time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Since the first time I saw this movie, I have compulsively said grindy thingy anytime I need to use the word grind. I encourage you to do so also. It is very satisfying.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah. Also, since this movie does include some swords, I consider an ROM win for Scott Pilgrim to be a spiritual victory for Yojimbo.
Sure.
Oh. Yeah.
That's who goes with pushing for Yojimbo.
I didn't understand any of that, but thank you.
Jimbo's a Jim? Guy with a sword.
Who's Jim? In
who's
what?
Jim? Oh, Jim McCulkin.
Yeah.
In what?
He's their dad.
What? Okay.
Yojimbo is a Japanese movie by Kurosawa.
Oh, that, okay. Got it.
Was then inspired Fistful of Dollars.
Nice.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood movie. I was going to say, it's interesting because Yojimbo was made because Kurosawa was inspired by Westerns, spaghetti Westerns.
Whoa.
And then the story of Yojimbo got put on a Western with Clint Eastwood, one of the most famous ones. Mm. And then it also got retold again from a gangster perspective with Bruce Willis. I forget the name of that one.
Great.
He comes to town and pits two gangs against each other.
Bruce Willis?
Yojimbo and Bruce Willis and Clint Eastwood.
Okay, great. Real quick, shout out to the graphics people who put the word pee on screen when Steven Stills gets a record deal.
Yeah.
And they just point to his pants with the word pee in all capitals.
Great.
Fantastic.
Steven Stills is great. I've never seen that guy before.
Great.
He perfectly is indie band guy.
Totally.
He's doing great. Young Neil?
Great.
He's great when he sings the wrong words. Just a quick cut of him singing the wrong words to the song he's probably heard like 1,000 times.
A 1,000 times. I relate to that.
How often have you done
hard.
That where you're like singing along and everybody's singing the song and then you sing it wrong and you're like,
so perfect. So perfect. Oh my God.
One thing the actress who played Knife Chow is like a local Toronto actress.
Oh.
Have not seen her in a lot of other stuff. I forgot to look it up on Wikipedia, but
maybe she's in a bunch of Canadian productions.
I know. Mm-hmm. Maybe she blew up too, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe everyone thought her name was Knife and they forgot about her and Googled her wrong.
Yeah, it could be.
No.
Finally, the reference machine asks, probably too late, but what do you think happens to the people Scott kills? They turn into quarters. Well, not quarters, coins.
Coins.
240.
Just coins.
Yeah. But they must go to the same place he did, right? He goes up to heaven.
Or something.
Does he?
Yeah, it's like a desert.
Yeah. The void of loneliness.
Oh, I guess so.
Oh, man. Another shout out to, I assume, the props department for having to lay out a bunch of man-shaped coin piles at the end.
Yeah.
I was really appreciating that. Yeah. Because they weren't so spot on, you know?
No. They were like just enough like, it's like a chalk outline, except it's a pile of coins.
Yeah,
delightful.
Yeah, I guess think of that desert place. This is an unsatisfying answer maybe, but I kind of like that it doesn't matter. This whole movie I like having a real soft focus with it of just like, this is what we're doing. It's like not a dream. It's not real. It's just in between everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very casual about its like flexible reality. Like where she just says like, you just happen to have a really convenient like subspace path through your head or whatever the fuck she says when she's delivering packages and shows up in his dreams.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's just a quip.
You know, that is such a nice, too, I hadn't really thought about at the beginning or towards the beginning of the movie, where he just, like, every time he turns, he's in some other situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you just realize he's basically sleepwalking through life.
Yeah.
Like he just sort of finds himself following friends to a party and finds himself like at a record store and finds himself like, it's so good. And at the end of the movie, of course, he's not doing that anymore. Well, anyway, you could probably find that out by looking on Wikipedia, but I just realized it. So you had that moment of realization with me, potentially. What are there any other questions?
Nope. Molly, I respect your journey.
Thank you, and I'm still embarrassed.
Well, no need to be embarrassed because we have this excellent rating scale that we get to next,
yes.
Which is X McMania, which is a TV show in which the McCulkin family, who are an ordinary family from Iowa, present their ex-partners.
Yep.
And it's hosted by Macaulay McCulkin.
Yes.
I don't remember anything else. Is that... That's it?
I mean, it explains itself.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean it's executive produced by Worms McCockles and Stephen Biscuit, of course.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Stephen Biscuit really put out the biscuit for this.
Yeah, he did.
Get Worms' name on there as an EP and get some of the back end.
Boom.
That's why he's in the best in the biscuit.
That's why he's the best in the biscuit. Steve Biscuit. Great name. Fuck, I'm proud of it.
It's real. It's got real blah, 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 blah energy.
Sure does.
Steve Biscuit's biscuit.
Mm. Trademarked.
Blah, blah, blah. Habla español. Dan, you gave it a 4.
Uh-huh.
I'm so sorry. I'm just like lost. I'm lost in my own thoughts. I'm like a real Scott Pilgrim.
You are. Real indie boy.
Yeah. You thought it would be fun and cool. Young people like it. Style.
It took more time to remind us that Scott sucks than I thought, which I appreciated. It was still super cool. Like the visual, all the set pieces were fun. Everybody fucking nailed it with whatever character they're doing. I do agree with Molly a little bit that it does get a little tedious in moments, probably because like the whole point of the movie is that it's actually just this boring dude's boring life that just happens to have kung fu fights in it. But I agreed with Ma that like there were certain points I'm just like, oh well, we still got three more X's to go, I guess. Yeah. But overall, I really enjoyed it, and I will stick with 4 X X McMania.
You got it.
Executive produced by Warren McCockles.
Beth, you gave it a 4. The first time you saw it, you were wowed, but the second time, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I feel almost exactly the same way that Dan felt.
Whoa.
Like, I think it's such a, it was funnier than I remember it being. I was laughing a lot.
Yes.
It's just so quick and, there's like visual bits and then there's like, just like, I don't know, the timing is perfect on like, on everything. And then, the visuals are very cool. Getting to the end, I was like, oh, there's more X's that and of course there's just parts of it that have not held up. So I'm gonna stick with 4.
Nice.
It's me, Dan. I also gave it a 4 and I felt the same way that Beth did. And
oh my gosh.
In the first half. And now I do again.
Oh.
Who feels
oh,
like
oh.
I'm in agreement. It looks great. It's fun. Wow. There's some parts that are a little bit of a slog. It feels like it's somehow, I think in 2010, it would have felt really fresh and cool and now feels a little tired, which is not the movie's fault because it's been 14 years since it came out. But there's still something about viewing now and be like, oh yeah, I kind of get it. Video game stuff. But I can also look back and be like, oh, this is cool. So I'm going to stick with 4.
Wow.
Molly, you gave it a 2. And then you remembered to respect our listeners.
You did give us a teaser. You gave us a little teaser in the first half that there might be some respect coming their way.
Yes.
You think you wouldn't love it, but you love Michael Cera.
Yeah. And it turns out I loved the entire cast. And yeah, I was a much more receptive place to watch it this time than I was when it came out in theaters. And yeah, I had a blast through most of it, and some of it was a slog, but like, that's the movie's own fault for getting us used to some really cool things and then just doing a little bit too much of it, you know? So yeah, anyway, everyone in this movie is kind of my hero, and I had a great time, and I really respect our listeners. So I'm going to go 4.5.
Wow.
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 Yep.
What's a half in this case?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's, they started to film that last episode and they just ran out of time, so they just didn't really get access. Yeah, they just ran out of time.
Biscuit comes in and just shuts the lights off.
We're over budget.
We're done. Let's go, Worms.
Worms.
And then they ride off on jet skis together because I assume they're on the coast.
Yeah,
it's the finale. They got to be like on the beach or something, right?
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
I agree.
Yes, I agree.
His, yeah, his sleepiness meter has gone to 100%.
Powering down.
Yeah.
He's been asleep on and off for like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I got up at 6:30 this morning to go play pickleball.
Man, you got to min-max. You got to min-max your points better.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but that sounds like good advice.
That is the teen. That is the teen calling card right there. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like good advice, and so I'm going to ignore it. Am I right, parents?
Yep.
This is me trying to relate to you.
Yeah,
you're doing great.
Thank
you. Min-maxing is when you get really into the weeds on stats and stuff. Like if you have your character and you in a video game or an RPG, and you really want to craft it just to optimize a certain outcome, combat or something.
Yeah,
like Gideon probably min-maxed that katana sword that he has at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
which does provide. I did appreciate that it provided stats whenever they pulled out a sword.
Yep.
Yep. It's funny to me because every time I see, like, if anyone in our house is playing a video game and scrolling through, I like can think about it as like somebody had to write the name of every one of those weapons,
right?
And decide how this one weapon is slightly different, and some economist had to figure out the game economy.
Yeah,
and there's so much that went into this thing that, let's just say, my husband is just ticking through.
Oh yeah, right. I feel the same way. All there's games that always have like extra world stuff, like you pick up a book and you can read a little bit about it, or you can look on a computer screen and stuff, and it makes for a cool experience, but it's always like, I don't care about this, I don't play the game. But there was like a legit writer had to write it, like they did writing.
Yeah.
And most people are just like, fuck it,
I don't care,
I just need to open this note so that the game knows later that I have this information and I can get the right dialogue choice.
Yeah. They should really, out of respect for the writers, they should really make it so that you can only 100% a game if you read every piece of environmental storytelling.
Like a reading comprehension test. Yes. The very end of the game that you have to pass.
Yes. We respect you, listeners. And we respect Dan because we know he has a firm bedtime.
And it's exhaust.
I go screens off at 9:30 on a normal night. This is a nightmare.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.